Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I hope you guys had a good Christmas. Amen. Okay, about 50 of us did. That's good. That's good. I had a great Christmas. We spent Christmas Eve after spending it with all of you wonderful people. We went home and spent Christmas Eve with my wife's, she's somewhere around here, my wife's grandparents, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I love spending time with people who are older than me, who are wiser than me. I love it. I love that having the opportunity of not speaking and just being able to listen. And as they speak, wisdom just comes out of them. And let me tell you something, the presence of God filled our living room and our kitchen table and our kitchen so many times. On the drive to Okeechobee, I had Grandpa with me, and we were just in tears the whole way. It was amazing. I love it. I love seeing people who are in love with God, who have a relationship with God. So I had a great Christmas. And I was asked to take the service today, and I thought I was going to preach on something really awesome. I had this whole sermon put together, and I thought I was going to preach on something amazing, and it was going to be great. And we were going to come in here and talk about religion versus relationship and really get into having a relationship with the Holy Ghost and talk about the anointing and how it changes stuff, and it was great, and then God changed everything. So I got to give a little bit of a backstory to the title, because it's not actually my title. I totally stole it from somebody. Everybody good? That's okay. It's all kingdom work, so just, you know, amen. So my wife showed me this video on Facebook, and yes, good things come from Facebook every once in a while, and there was a video of a worship leader that she knows, and she was having a little bit of a rough morning, and there was just all sorts of just chaos going on in the service, and the fire alarm was going off while she's trying to do worship, and it's just, evacuate the building now, and the people were giving her a really hard time. It was just super stiff, and like, you know, and I don't know if she said this out of desperation, out of anger, out of a moment of weakness. I'm not really sure. But what she said next just, I mean, it hit me and it stuck with me for weeks, because this was about a month or two ago that my wife showed me this video. She shouts over the microphone and she's trying to get into the next song, but she can't, because every time she starts the song, the fire alarm keeps going off. They get it shut off and then it goes off again. Then it shuts off and it goes on again. Right? And funny enough, I think she was singing, the next song was something about fire anyways. So it was comical, right? But everyone, they weren't having this, interrupting my worship time. And she shouted over the mic. She said, listen, guys, seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. Oh, and that hit me, and it has stuck with me, and I've been saying it all around the office and all around the church and in the cafe and everywhere I go, and I see my family members, and they're all grumpy and miserable and just having a bad day. And listen, brother, seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. So if you don't like laughter, this is probably not a service for you. Nobody left? Amen. Let's get into the Word. Are y'all with me this morning? This should be the most joyous time of the year. Let's be honest. We're celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one and only, the I Am. We have snow in Vero Beach. How much more joyous can you get? Christmas lights, and there's gingerbread cookies in the staff office, and everywhere you turn, it's peanut butter fudge and chocolate fudge and white chocolate peppermint lattes. It's a good time of the year. Praise the Lord, I got a lot to be happy about. But yet, you go to Walmart the day after Christmas, the most joyous day in the world. Listen, Mickey Mouse ain't got nothing on Christmas for Christians. Happiest place on earth, that's the church. Or it should be. But you go to Walmart the day after Christmas. Lady bumps into you with the cart. I'm sorry, ma'am, I didn't realize I was in your way. You go to check out, and the lady, she's just angry. I got work today. Blunk, blunk, blunk. Did you have a good Christmas? Blunk, blunk, blunk. Well, doesn't look like you did. I'm sorry God's providing you with finances. You go to Burger King. I don't want to do it again. We did this last time with Chick-fil-A and the excellence thing, you know. Y'all know how I feel about McDonald's. They got the best double cheeseburger in the world, but they need to work on the... Oh, I just shocked somebody. Yes, I like the dollar McDouble. That is the best $1 cheeseburger money will ever buy. The attitude that comes with it is not so good. Are you with me? You would think, I mean, you just got showered with presents, and the kids, you would think they would just be over the moon. But they're grumpy and miserable and just all bent out of shape, and then it just carries on throughout the year. And it amazes me. It amazes me. You know, as Christians, we should just be overflowing with the joy. The joy of the Lord. When the world looks at the church and all they see is church people being negative, complaining, griping, gossiping, and they're carrying on and spewing all this garbage out of their mouth, and the world looks at the church and goes, "That's all right, I think I'm going to stay in the bar. It's a little more fun." But when they see Christians having a good time, laughing, carrying on, not all uptight and serious in their suit jacket, although I'm wearing a suit jacket, it's my preaching jacket, riding camels in the parking lot. Hey, we got karaoke and watching people get up there and sing that would never, I'm watching Pastor Alex and little Josh get up there and just, I mean, I had fun. Watching the different police departments duke it out and dance. And there was a pig on the stage in the mall. Last I checked, as a Christian, I should have more fun than the world. I should laugh more than the world. I should be full of more joy than the world. Not happiness, joy. A vast difference. Happiness is such a cheap imitation of joy. Why? Because happiness goes just as quickly as it comes. Here today, gone tomorrow. It's a fly-by-night emotion of the real thing, which is the joy of the Lord that only comes through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'd tie it back into relationship at some point. I knew I would. I'm jumping way ahead. Are you guys with me? Amen. So what I'm going to do today is I want to lay a little bit of a foundation. And then I'm going to give three really practical keys, because I believe now these three practical keys are not the be-all and end-all, if you can understand. All they do is help you with the fourth and the final key, because the fourth key is the spiritual aspect that actually really opens up the door and allows everything else to be produced in your life. But we got to get the first three right, because it makes it easier for the last one. Is that okay? It's not a be-all and end-all. I believe you could probably get it all with the last one, and then the rest of them would fall into place. But if we can just apply the first three, because the first three are easy. It's the last three that we, or the last one that we struggle with. I didn't do a 12-point sermon. I wouldn't make it through all 12, so I only did 4 points. That was a joke. Seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit. But joy is. You know, the beautiful thing about the joy of the Lord is it is unaffected and it is unmoved by your situation, by your circumstance, by things going on around you. When you carry the joy of the Lord in you, you may be having a bad day, and having a bad day from time to time is okay. It becomes dangerous when that bad day turns into a bad week, which turns into a bad month, which turns into a bad year, and now all of a sudden you're just a grumpy, miserable old mess that nobody want to be around except other grumpy people. Amen? Okay. So point number one. Change the script. Change the script. Write your own story. So many people, I like down here. I feel a little more comfortable down here. Is this okay? Up there scares me. Change the script. Change it. So many people get stuck in what happened to them yesterday. Come on, I know you've heard it. Well, you know, if it wasn't for my ex, I'd be. You know, if it wasn't for that business partner, you know how much he scammed me out of? You know, if it wasn't for my job, if it wasn't for the government, if it wasn't for that President Trump, oh, I just hate that man. If it wasn't for, and we've got this whole list of excuses that happened to our yesterday, and we allow our yesterday to dictate our tomorrow. And you know what the problem is so many people hold on to their yesterday because it justifies tomorrow's failures. I'm gonna say that one more time. We hold on to our mistakes and the things that we did yesterday and our past and our family's decisions and all the things grandma and grandpa did and dad did. And we hold on to everything that happened yesterday because it allows us to have justification for us failing tomorrow. So we live the same way that they lived and we use that as our excuse. I am the way I am because mom and dad were the way they were. Hashtag be the change. You write your own story. I firmly believe I am God's favorite. I firmly believe that the promise that He has for me, the greatness, the destiny, the purpose that He has called me to be, I firmly believe I am His favorite. And unfortunately, I have to believe you're His favorite too. That means that you've got greatness inside of you. That means you have a purpose inside of you. That means you have a destiny inside of you. And the only person standing in the way of that purpose and that destiny and that greatness is... Hashtag be the change. This is a very tweetable sermon. Are you with me? You write your story when your feet hit the ground. When you wake up in the morning, praise the Lord, it's another day. I have got breath in my lungs. That means I can praise. I can be full of joy. I can change my story, and I'm not going to allow my history to dictate my future. It may be there. It may have been painful. Nobody's negating the pain that you went through yesterday. And we have the most amazing ministry in the world that will walk you through that pain of yesterday. But let me tell you something. If I sit down with you and I have a cup of coffee with you in September and I hear about the pain that you had for 15 years in September, and then I sit with you again in October and it's the same story, and then again in November and it's the same story, and then again in December and it's the same story, and you've been with Miss Carla and Mr. Bruce and you've gone through the whole process, and then in January and February, it's the same story. 6 months, a year later, it's the same story, and you're still stuck in the same place that you were because of all of what happened yesterday. I sit with you in September and I'll listen to you, brother, and I'll have sympathy and I'll pray for you. But in October, I want to hear about how God has blessed you. I want to hear about how God is moving in your life. There's always something to be grateful for. There is always something to have a little bit of joy. I'm alive. Praise God. It's a good day. Life is too short to be grumpy and miserable and full of it and just whine and complain about everything. Have you seen the world that we live in? See, I say that and instantly everybody goes to the news. You go to the news and I went to the mountains in Tennessee. See, you went to that evil Facebook post and I went 45 feet under the ocean looking at a ledge and coral. And see, that's the difference. You got to change your mind. Are you with me? I said, the world we live in, you started thinking about all the troubles in the Middle East. I started thinking about ponies on a wild land running through the... Okay, I didn't think about ponies. That's my wife. I thought a big dolphin just jumping through the water. Oh, come on. Wake up in the morning and look at what God has created. You know, in our house, we've been blessed with a beautiful house. I love my house. Beautiful piece of property, and I step out the back door with a cup of coffee, and we got these big Australian pines, great big ones. They're like 45, 50 foot tall. You ever heard wind go through Australian pines? You see, the outdoorsman, you know what I'm talking about. It's the most peaceful, beautiful thing you've ever heard. That's a way to start the day. I sit there and drink my coffee and just think, my God, thank you for letting me experience this. I want another day just to sit out here and drink a cup of coffee with you. Change your story. Don't wake up grumpy. And if you do, change your pillow. Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. I love this scripture. Don't hold on to yesterday. Don't hold on to it. Be like Elsa. Let it go. Here we go. Do not remember the former things. do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, even in that tough place, even when it's real dry, even when you feel real alone, He's there. See, I said, change your story. Here's the deal. And this is where it all comes back into relationship. Is we have to get to the place to where we submit to God and hand Him the pen. I didn't say this in the first service, so somebody needs to hear this. You hand Him the pen because there's too many of us that are trying to write the story. And we're trying to fill in the blanks, and we're trying to get to the destination, and we're filling in all the nonsense from here in between. But some of us need to just learn how to submit to God and say, here, you write it for me. Your will, not my will. Here you go. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize on the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God has made a way for you to get out of yesterday's pain, to get out of yesterday's grief, to get out of yesterday's anger, sorrow, your maliciousness, all of your negativity, all of your complaining. God has made a way for you to leave that stuff behind you and walk in a life of joy, peace, love, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, all the things that the world needs to see the church operating in. He's made a way. I'm not negating your pain. And here's why. Because Romans 8:28 says that, and we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purposes. That means He'll take what happened to you yesterday and give you a testimony tomorrow so that you can bring more people into the kingdom. Because when they look at you and they say, don't you know how messed up his childhood was? Don't you know how he was destined to be a loser? And then they see you being great and operating in the kingdom with power and authority, and you've got the joy of the Lord on your life. They look at you and all of a sudden, my God, that is a testimony itself. Amen. I love it. I had somebody the other day tell me, they said, never mind. I'm gonna get in trouble if I say that. Okay. It was really good. I won't say names. I promise I won't say names. But they said, you know, Pastor Mike, I know the presence of God. The Holy Ghost is really working here at Oceans. And I said, yeah, I know. Praise the Lord. I'm expecting a miracle, a financial blessing. His grandma got up out of a wheelchair. I'm expecting some kind of testimony. He said, you know who I saw in the church the other day? And blanked it out for you. And I said, yeah, he's great. He said, boy, that's how I know the Holy Ghost is working, because he stepped foot in the church. He didn't mean it mean. He didn't mean it malicious. He was honest about it. He said, if he's coming to church, man, God is moving in this place. You don't know him. I know him. We were running partners in high school. Amen. Okay. So, change the script. Change the story. Hand the pen over and let the real author and finisher write the story. Okay, point number two. I like this one. I like it. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey and not the destination. Enjoy the journey and not the destination. See, we all have heard this at some point. Well, you know, Pastor Mike, if I had more money. Well, you know, Pastor Mike, if I had a different job. Well, you know, Pastor Mike, if the kids would just go on ahead and move on out of the house. Enjoy the journey. We got a destination. You know, if my business would just grow, you know, if I could just have a second location, you know, if I could just, you can fill in the blanks. Every single person in this room has got some kind of a goal. If you've got a goal, let me see your hand. If you don't have a goal, we need to pray for you, because we should all have goals and set forth before us so that we can continue on and for the glory of Christ Jesus. Okay, amen. Undoubtedly, you will always spend more time on the journey than you will the destination. So if we only aspire true joy to the destination and not the journey, that means you spend the majority of your time miserable. And let me tell you something else. I'm on a roll this morning. Regardless of if you hit that destination, well, Pastor Mike, I got to get rich quick scheme. I'm going to, you know, do this and this and this and this, and I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 35 and I'm going to retire. Well, that was my dream. I told my dad I was going to retire by the time I'm 35. Little did he know I'd retired at 23 when I became a pastor. Amen. God had a better plan. Hashtag preachers don't retire. They just die. Elijah just got caught up. Moses died. Paul just died. I don't know. Are you with me? Okay. All right. We're just going to carry on otherwise. Enjoy the journey. Even if you make it to that destination, undoubtedly you'll get to that destination and you will want a new destination. You'll want to reach another goal. So that means the minute that you hit that destination, well, I made it to Florida, now it's time to go to Tennessee. And then once you get to Tennessee, well, now it's time to go to California, using it as a silly example. I've got one branch in ServPro in Vero Beach, and now I need a second one in Sebastian and a second one and a third one in Melbourne. And every time you get a new destination, guess what? You have another journey. So you might as well enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the journey, not just the destination. The whole process. It may not be easy, but that's why it's so important for the final key. So we're going to get there. Amen. Judges 18, 5 through 6. So they said to him, "Please inquire of God, that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." Go in peace. He's got you. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the process. Romans 15, 22 through 24. It says, "For this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you." So I have a destination, but there's a stop in between. "For I hope to come to you on my journey to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while." Well, I just wish them kids would just go ahead and graduate and get on out of the house so I can get my life back. Enjoy the journey. There's been some serious restoration with me and my dad, and I've listened to him, and he's told me, you know, "Son, I wish I could have gone back in time. And those times that you invited me fishing and those times that you invited me hunting and you went on your own, I wish I would have just said no to work and gone with you every once in a while. Because now that you're gone, I can't get those back. I can't get those precious moments back. Stop wishing your children out of your house and start enjoying them. They're not a burden, they're a gift. When I finally have kids, and it will happen, I don't care if it's a pink bow or a camo beanie. Doesn't matter the gender, doesn't matter the age. I will weld a babysitting attachment to my tree stand. A rockabye boo-boo with my bow in my hand. They will be a part of my life. They will experience life with me, not behind a screen. When I go fishing, they'll come with me. I'll put up a sunshade. I'll do what I got to do. And I know there's people sitting here right now doubting me, saying, "Well, we'll see you about that in 10 years. You want to beat them little snots?" Probably. Enjoy the journey. That's what part of being a parent's all about. The good times and the bad. But I'm not going to change my life now that I've got kids. Praise God, they're supposed to come and enjoy it with me. They're a blessing. Are you with me, church? That's okay. Y'all test me on it in 10 years. We'll see. I'm sure I'll beat little Tommy three ways to Sunday, but it's okay. He's going to love me and enjoy fishing while we do it. Oh, amen. Tomorrow isn't promised, so enjoy today. Enjoy the ride. Third point is change your position. I like this one. Change your position. I'm going to start over here. Change your position. You are who you surround yourself with. So if I surround myself with grumpy, negative, miserable people all the time, undoubtedly, I will also become grumpy and miserable and just... I'm sure I'm not the only one that knows this. Birds of a feather flock together. There's one grumpy person in the room. There'll be a congregation of 750 people. One grumpy, miserable person will walk through them doors and they'll find every miserable person in that congregation before they leave that Sunday morning service. They'll have it's like a whirlwind cloud cyclone that just... But it just sucks all the negative people right to them. And then it's just this big hurricane of destruction that just spoils up. You know what the greatest disaster to a church is? Negative people. I should have got a much bigger amen than that. Because we're not negative people here. We don't complain here. We got a lot to be joyous about. We got a lot to be happy about. I thank my God that we got a pastor that preaches the truth. I thank my God that we got a church that we can worship in. I thank my God that we got a church that the Holy Ghost moves in, believing in the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry. Thank you, Lord. I got a lot to be thankful for. Ain't got time for complainers. Turn to your neighbor and say, I ain't got time for it. I ain't got time for it. Ain't got time for that negativity. Ain't got no time for it. Change your position. Think about Jonah. Jonah was on his way to Tarshish, running away from God, running away from his calling, running away from his purpose and his destiny. He hops on a boat, and on the middle of that boat ride over to Tarshish, everything gets real bumpy, and the whole, just everything's falling apart, and the captain and all the sailors, they're casting lots and calling upon their gods, why thou hast the Lord kill us, and trying to figure out what's going on. Jonah pops up and says, hey, y'all, the reason you're going through the mess you're going through is because of me. I think that captain was a real smart captain. He grabbed old Jonah by his trousers and get on out of here. Boosh. Seas went flat. I wish some people would start cutting some people out of your lives. Young people, stop getting mad at mom and dad for taking your phone away. Maybe cut out the people that are causing you to get your phone taken away. Young ladies, you ain't gonna change him. Dad's better back me up on this. You need to let God change him first. Let him become a godly man and then pursue. Don't think you're going to change him. Amen? Change your position. Change your position. Man, I was having a great day and then I showed up and, you know, old John, he just started just... griping and moaning, and before the end of the service, I was just all upset and bitter and just... I love John. He's not like that. But are you with me? Cut it out of your life. Here's the thing. If you're not strong enough to stand and exude joy, peace, love, kindness, all the gifts of the Spirit, if you're not strong enough at this moment to stand in that place and continue to be like that, cut it out for a season. And that, I mean, that covers everything. Today we're talking about joy, but this is, you could preach a whole sermon right there. Change your position. Get out of that position. Get into a place. Surround yourself with people who are going to edify you, who are going to speak into your life. Get a new friend group that isn't gossiping the whole time and complaining about the church and Pastor Alex and because he preaches truth. Maybe change your position. Find somebody that's going to say, brother, you look good today. Brother, I believe in you. Find somebody that's going to encourage you. Maybe find a group of friends that laughs every once in a while because laughter is a good thing. It's a good thing. Just grumpy and miserable all the time. Man, life's too short to be miserable. We got good things coming up ahead. We got a great big God. 1 Corinthians 13:55 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Find people who are going to speak into your life, who are going to build you up, who are going to edify you, and people who will make you great. Surround yourself with somebody who is more anointed than you. Find somebody that has the joy of the Lord in their life. Find somebody. Change your friend group. Amen. Everybody still love me? Okay. All right. That's good. Even if you don't, you're commanded to, so choke's on you. Okay. This is the kicker. This is the most important one. All the other ones have set the stage for this very moment. Point number four is being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Be led by the Spirit of God. Can we go to Galatians chapter 5 and 16? We struggle with this one, and I don't know why. At the end of the day, the Holy Spirit is the one that will produce. See, joy is a product. It's a product. Just like produce, it's grown. Are you with me? Okay. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. These are contrary to one another. Black and white. Draw a line in the middle and pour concrete in it. They're contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, everybody say, but God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That means not just on Sundays. If we live in the Spirit, that means every day that I wake up and I got breath coming into my lungs. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That means that I've got to have a lifestyle being led by Him. That means I have to have a relationship with Him. In order for the fruit to be produced, there first has to be relationship. And then it gives us this whole long list, right? It says walk in the Spirit, and it gives us this list of all these sins. And this is where we struggle. And I gave this analogy in the first service that, you know, I don't know why this gets preached this way, but for whatever reason, people always talk about, well, when you get led by the Spirit, you won't be tempted no longer. That's right. Wrong. It doesn't say the temptation goes away. It just says that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that means that temptation is kind of like an itch. What happens when you get an itch? Right? See, temptation will always promise a temporary relief. But what happens when you? It don't take but just a few minutes, and all of a sudden, man, are you with me? Isn't that just like temptation and sin? Isn't that just like addiction? You've got to do it more. You've got to do it harder. You've got to keep scratching and scratching and scratching to try to get a relief for something that you're not going to get through scratching that itch. But see, when you're led by the Spirit, it doesn't make the itch not happen. It just gives you the willpower not to scratch it. That's what having a relationship with the Holy Spirit does. It gives you the willpower. That temptation will be there, but you'll have the willpower to say no. And you'll continue to walk. Now see, I gotta say this and then we're gonna close. We're almost done. Praise the Lord. It's almost lunchtime. Because I gotta give this one key. Because I don't wanna preach this whole thing and somebody leave here encouraged and then they wake up tomorrow and they're struggling with negativity and complaining and bitterness and all this stuff all over again. Okay, when you plant a seed, if I take an orange seed and I go plunk, and I put that little thing in the ground, I don't wake up tomorrow morning unless a severe miracle has taken place and pluck an orange off the tree from the seed that I planted the night before. Can we go to Galatians 6 and verse 7? Sowing seed and reaping a harvest takes time. You got to have patience and you got to walk the road. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh of the flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us, watch this, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose hope. So that means when we start being led by the Spirit, you change your position. You enjoy the journey. You rewrite the script. And you're applying all these things. That's putting that seed in the ground. And then you start having a relationship with God, being led by the Spirit. And oh, there's another itch, but I got the willpower to say no and let that itch just take care of itself and it'll go away. And I'm being led. Now, all of a sudden, I wake up tomorrow. I may not be able to pluck that orange off the tree, but I see a little sprout come out of the ground. Do you know what that sprout is? That's faith. That should build you up to see, you know what? I'm not to the fullness of what I want, but I can see some progress. And then a few days go by. Now all of a sudden a sprout is a tree. And then the tree's got branches. And then the branches have got leaves. And now all of a sudden there's an orange blossom. And then now long ways down the line I got a fruit that I can pluck. Don't lose heart. Stay consistent. Consistency is key. I pray with everything inside of me that we would be a joyous people. Life is too short to be miserable. And I want to be around all of you guys, and I can't be around miserable people. Miserable people wear me out, makes my skin crawl. I like people who are happy, laughing, joyous. We've got the victory. What are you miserable about? We've got freedom. We've got the deliverance. We've got the power. We've got the authority. What are you so upset about? Why are you so negative? These are some real life questions to contemplate. Can we pray this morning? Will y'all stand with me? Father, this morning in this place, Lord, I ask that through your word and through the guiding of your Spirit, Father, I pray that we would begin to walk a road and a lifestyle of living with joy unspeakable inside of us. Father, I pray that there would be a fresh baptism of joy in this place this morning in Jesus' name. We come against all forms of complaining, all forms of negativity, all forms of gossip and lying and murderous slander. Father, we come against all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we break it off of our lives. We break it off of our children. We break it off of our marriages. We break it off of our families. We break it off of our businesses. We break it off of our church this morning. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would release joy, joy unspeakable upon every single person in this house. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. Father, I pray that you would bless them in their going, bless them in their coming. Father, I ask that you would just be with every single person. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody agreed and said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.